In the book of John, we started chapter 1, now we came to chapter 19 tonight. And from chapter 19, it's very difficult to pick one passage from chapter 19 because today is Good Friday, the day that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. So we will read the whole chapter 19. There will be a lot of things to do. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles. Don't close your Bibles. And we're going to have four different, we're going to look at four different scenes from our Bible, chapter 19. The first scene will be verse 1 through 11. And second one will be 12 through 16a, because the 16 is divided into two sections. Third one is 16b through 27. And the last one is 28 through 42. Through these verses, we will look at how Jesus Christ handled or people handled the case. And also we will meet lots of people like a pilot and soldiers, the crowd and the ladies and Nicodemus and other people in our text. So what I'd like to do is we're going to read the first section. And then I'll preach a little bit and reflection on the text. And we'll have very short moment of a prayer, thinking of not many things, but only from the text, the death of Jesus Christ. And then move on. So we're going to have literally four different very short messages from our text. Let's pray before we begin reading our text. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this great, wonderful text, John chapter 9. Also, we thank you so much for having us great weeks to look at the book of John through chapter 1 and 2, 3, 4, 12, and 19 to see all the people, how they feel about Jesus Christ, how they know about Jesus Christ, what they want, and their misunderstandings. Through their lives, we have learned that we are like them. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we are the crowd. We say the king of Israel, but we will be the same crowd. Say that, crucify him, crucify him. Lord, would you please help us tonight? Help us to get rid of all the things to make us distracted, like a house matters, our business matters, our relationship. But help us to focus our minds and thoughts on you, just on the cross. So to help us to make this day tonight the most beautiful day, the wonderful day of our year. So that we will give our lives to you. And we will be reminded by your word. We pray these things, your Son, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles in chapter 1 through 11. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out of you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man!" When the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has a great sin. We look at this short passage, verse by verse. We see that Jesus was physically suffered. And we also see that this is fulfillment of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecies of the Isaiah chapter 50 and 53, well-known chapters to the Christians. In verse 2, we see that a crown of thorns, because people called him the King of Jews, the soldiers look at him and mocking him. They didn't have the gold. They didn't have something else to make him a king, but they did have a crown of thorns to give him more pain, to ridicule him, to declare that he is really the King of the Jews, but it's a funny story. Now, verses 4 and 5, Pilate came out. It's very irony. He says in our verse, Behold the man. But literally, the NIV says, Here is the man. He is introducing Jesus Christ to the crowd and saying that, Here is the man that you're trying to kill. Do you still want to kill this man? Look at him. He's powerless, harmless. And look at him. He's somehow very ridiculous. He claims that he's the King of Jews, but see what's happening to him. Look at his crown of thorns. Look at him. He's bleeding. Pilate was really mocking the Jews and even their faith. And he was ridiculing Jesus Christ, even the Jewish authorities, saying, Here is the man. Here is the man who came to the world. The Bible says, John chapter 1. Here is the man who suffered for our sins. The Bible says to us in many places. Here is the man who is the Savior of the world. We know that, John chapter 4, Samaritans. They say that here is the man, this man, the Savior of the world. Interesting thing is that they didn't look at any signs or miraculous things that Jesus performed to other people. They heard only his word, and then they said, Here is the man, the Savior of the world. Here is the man, John said, John the Baptist, the Lamb of God. Here is the man, the Son of God. Here is the man, my Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the man Pilate was mocking. Here is the man, my Lord Jesus Christ, who died today for our sins. When the people saw him, they didn't say anything. The same crowd a few days ago, the same crowd welcomed him. The same crowd is literally crazy about him because they witnessed it, all the things he has been doing. They said, the King of the Jews. Now, verse 6 and 7, they changed words. Crucify him. Crucify him. Religious leaders, they got the opportunity to kill him. They wanted to kill him. Crazy religious leaders, nothing, they don't have any idea about what they did. They know the laws. As a Nicodemus came to Jesus and said that they understood what the Bible says. Some of the Sanhedrin people, they knew what's going on with Jesus Christ. But still, the leaders of this religious group, they wanted to kill him. because they don't want to lose their part, their power, their honor, their wealth. So they claimed it, crucify him. And they also said, we have a law. At the time, the governor Pilate had a very special project, things to do. When usually the governor goes to their local, they have to respect the local laws. So the Jewish is saying that they're politically using, they're very smart people, politically using all the things to kill Jesus Christ because Pilate didn't want to kill him. So the Jewish leader is saying, we have the law. You came here to respect our law. That's your job. By our law, this guy has to be died. So therefore, crucify him. Crucify him. Pilate was afraid. Maybe he was afraid of the crowd because they will be more crazier. They will do something. Maybe he was afraid of, maybe this guy is really the Son of God. Because we know that from other Gospels, his wife came and told him about Jesus Christ. And he went back to Jesus and asked him again, where are you from? Pilate didn't know, but we know. Jesus Christ did not answer. It seems like he was trying to give up the opportunity to defend himself, to prove that he was really the Son of God, but he didn't answer. The Pilate got angry at him. He says that I have the power. Maybe I will release you. I'm better than you. I have the authority to kill you. And finally, Jesus reveals the true power, the true authority from God. And Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you, which means God gave to you from above. Basically, based on Jesus' words, Jesus allowed all these things to happen to him to fulfill the promises of God from the Old Testament. As I say, Isaiah 50 and 53, Jesus has the authority. He is God. He is the Creator. And he knows who is greater sin, Judas Iscariot. We talked about him last week. Who betrayed Jesus Christ? Who did not recognize Jesus Christ? Not believing in him at all. He was a thief. From first sin, what do you see? Based on my reading, flogged means they usually have three different types of flogging. First one is a regular, second one is a little bit harder, third one is a very difficult one. Usually people die at the third one. Jesus got the third one. Here is the man. Here is the man Jesus Christ came to us. The second sin is verse 12 through 16a. I hope you still open your Bibles. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cry out, if you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes a Caesar. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of a preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, behold your king! They cried out, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. So he delivered him over to them. to be crucified. It's short, but very shocking. Pilate did not want to kill him, but he wanted to release him because he didn't see anything wrong with him. But now the Jewish leaders, again, politically using their idea, their power, to push Pilate to make a sentence to kill Jesus Christ. Literally, they threaten him. You are not Caesar's friend. Pilate was under Caesar's authority. The Caesar sent him to this area to rule over. If someone report to Caesar that we found a king who claims he's a king, but Pilate didn't kill him, that means Pilate will be killed by his king. So now Pilate changed his mind by somehow political power, worldly power, and he was forced to make a sentence. And in our text, verse 14, very interesting thing is, John says, now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. John wants to make sure that all the readers of this section remember that Jesus Christ was the Passover lamb. He was the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God. Is that true? Jesus is the Passover lamb for us, the Lamb of God to us. Do we see what John wants to talk about that? Do we really see the line between? And then Pilate said, behold your king, as he did the first time. Behold the man, here is the man. Same thing, he's mocking, he's ridiculing him, the Lord Jesus Christ, even the Jews. Now this time, not only the religious leaders, but the crowd, the religious leaders and people all together, they shouted out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And the priests answered, because Pilate said, how can I kill your king? And priests answered, we have no king. The next line is more striking. We have no king. But Caesar, how can you say that? Maybe they have to say, we have no king but God. But they are saying that we have no king but Caesar. We know that they wanted a king from the history of their story in the Old Testament. The king came to the world, but they did not recognize him at all. The true light came to the world, but the world did not recognize him based on John. So their argument was more cruel here. They did not want any king. But they, because they already have the worldly king. Where is their faith at this sin? Where is our faith before the cross? We see cross almost every day. Where is our faith? Is Jesus our king? Or we have another king? Is Jesus the humble king that we talked about last week? Is Jesus the Prince of Peace? Or he's nothing? We have another king. Or do we need another king? Or are we making kings for our own benefits? Who is our king? The third section, The third scene is verse 16b through 27. 16a is, so he, which means Pilate, delivered him over to them to be crucified. Them means the soldiers. And 16b in our third section, so they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was a seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and mother's sister, and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to his disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Now here indicates our text, the beloved disciple. His disciple is John, who wrote this book. Now we see two different group of people basically. First one is the soldiers. Second one is the ladies. And we also see missing ones, the disciples. In verse 16, the Greek text says they took charge of Jesus. It means the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Now the angle of the camera is moving to two different group of people here in our third section. The Roman soldiers, what they did, and the ladies. In verse 17, Jesus was carrying his own cross. Now, his own cross means here the cross member, which is a horizontal bar. Now, he couldn't carry. Thought about this at this moment. Based on our text, starting chapter 19, the Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the crown of thorns, and basically he was bleeding a lot. He was not able to carry. No power to carry because based on his severe bleeding. So we know who carried Simon. Based on Matthew chapter 27, Mark 15, and Luke 23, written about this one. But John is missing that part. Now you're moving to verse 18. They crucified him with others and a cross. The cross means, crucifying means, is all about shame at the time. It's horror. And no one likes that idea. It's brutal and stripped naked and beaten. And victim could hang in there under the hot sun for hours, even days. I read some articles about that. To breathe, this quote from I believe D.A. Carson, he says, to breathe, it was necessary to push with the legs and to pull with the arms, like this. And then keep the chest cavity open and functioning. And terrible muscle spasm coming to the entire body. And once he gets breathed, air inside of his body, and collapses again. The strain went on and on. And also other commentaries said that underneath of Jesus' feet there is a wood. That's not to help him, but give him more pain. To give him more life to live, get more pain. He's a little wood, he could stand. So he can push himself with his arms up more, get more air, and coming down. That's a horrible scene that we can imagine. And they gave him the name. But interestingly, they were mocking Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Jews. But that was the truth. He was the King of Jews. But they didn't know it. They just ridicule him, make fun out of him. But we know that Jesus was the King of Jews. He is my King who died on the cross. Verse 23 and 24 says, fulfill the scriptures, which means Psalm 22. Verse 18, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Maybe people sometimes misunderstood this text. They thought they just torn the garments. Not that one. One person taking sandals, one person taking belt, one person taking his outer garment. So four pieces. The soldiers, they were mocking Christ. They didn't know who he was. But we see verse 25, four ladies. His mother and his mother's sister, which is John and James's mother. John was at the scene at the time, and Mary Clopas and Mary Magdalene. We will be hearing Mary Magdalene on Sunday. But interesting thing is, they were there with Christ, a little bit far away, but they were there. But where were the disciples? For 3 years with him, what did they learn? Nothing. Yes, we know that John was there, but where were other disciples? Now, from this scene, we learn that sometimes we are doing the same thing. We crucify Jesus Christ. We're mocking him through our lives. We're like the soldiers. Maybe we're like the disciples. We don't want to face that situation. We don't want to die with Christ. We don't want to get the shame and horror. So we ran away. We take the good part of faith, good part of Christianity. This is good for me. I will take this part, but I don't like this part. These ladies were blessed. They were crying. They witnessed the death of Jesus Christ, but they were blessed. Where were the disciples? The last scene is from verse 28 and to 42. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. And after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had came to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloth with spices, as is a burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Two words. I'm thirsty, and it is finished. It is finished is my sermon title today. We know that Jesus Christ came to the world to give his life, to give his precious life, not for nothing, but for give us life. That's very ironic. He came to the world to give his life for giving us life, the eternal living water, as Jesus mentioned in John chapter 3. And after done all these things, when he dies, he's giving us life. He said, it is finished. It's finished. That's our hope. And the Bible says, fulfill the Old Testament, the promises in the Old Testament. Yes, it is true that the Savior, the Messiah came. The most powerful verses we see, it is finished. Finished. We are talking about all the things from the New Old Testament. All these things I finished. Jesus fulfilled. Yes, he finished. His words reminds us of our catechism, the heart of our catechism, number one. And what is your only comfort in life and death? And answer said, that I am not my own, but belonging body and soul, life and death to my faithful Savior. It is finished. It's not mine yet now anymore. It's not Satan's, but it's now Jesus Christ is saying that you are God's people. You are my people. The Catechism said that, but belonging body and soul and life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has fully paid for all our sins with his precious blood. Yes, it is finished. It is finished. That's our hope. Verse 31 and 37 confirms the death of Jesus Christ. Really died. People thought that he didn't die. But he really died. He has fully paid for our sins through his death, his precious blood. Psalm 34 and 20 says, he keeps all his bones, that one of them is broken. Yes, he kept the promise. It is finished. He fulfilled the promise of the Old Testament. Zechariah 12 and 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child. Weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. Yes, it is finished. Jesus Christ fulfilled the promise of our God. That's our hope. That is our hope. Today is Good Friday. He died on the cross. When we think about only his death, that is really sorry. That is really horrible. By continually reading all the sections from the gospel about his suffering, his death, really depressing me. How can you? People, how can you say they crucify him? And a few days ago, you say he is the King of Jews. I feel sad because I see myself there. Sometimes I say, the Lord, you are my king. But sometimes I say, who are you? But what Jesus said on the cross is really, really comforting me. Yes, it is finished. We see there are two men coming up at the end of the story. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Joseph appears in other Gospels. We know that he was a powerful man, a member of the Sanhedrin, one of 71 people. He got the power that he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the believer. So he used his power to take the body of Jesus Christ. And then I ask the same question from this scene. Where are the disciples? Where are the disciples? And later on, Nicodemus came. I hope you remember that when we talked about Nicodemus, first time when he came to Christ, he didn't get it. In the middle of a conversation, he disappeared. In the middle of his life, we see here and there, two more times here, and he changed. Now in verse here today, our text, he completely changed. He came. He came to Lord Jesus Christ. What do we believe? What do we believe about our Lord Jesus Christ? Is it finished? Yes, it is finished. And we are his people. Because of his death on the cross, we became his children. It is finished. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, as we already talked about, when we open the Bible, chapter 19, it brings us sadness and hopelessness because our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. But we are comforted when he said, it is finished. Lord, we truly believe that you came to the world and you suffered, you died on the cross. And we truly believe that you are resurrected. We truly believe that you will come. We truly believe that it is finished. We pray these things, your Son, in Jesus' name.